Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the GS Radio Network. Our show tonight is Whistleblowers. We're doing extra shows this week for them, and we're going to have Chauncey Robinson back on. And I wanted to remind everybody about the Whistleblower Summit taking place July 29th, 30th, and 31st in Washington, D.C. We're all going to be there, and apparently there's a gang of us coming off of this show, so we'll get to meet a lot of you in person. It's a wonderful place to network, meet other people that are fighting the same cause as you are, find out what they're doing that's successful, what walls they're running into, how they're dealing with it. So everybody, if you can get out there, please do. And these shows are brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit, which we're quite proud to say. Anyway, with that being said, our guest is Chauncey Robinson. Now, he's a Gulf War veteran, and he's been fighting for 28 years to get his benefits. And we've heard all of these things, and he's not the only one, believe me. Chauncey is just one of the few people that has stepped out there raising the alarm about this. We've heard in all these federal agencies how it's difficult. It's so difficult to get rid of these people that don't do a good job, that misuse their position, that mismanage an agency, take privileges that they should not, all kinds of things happening. In this case, what's happening is the destruction of medical records, the mishandling of cases, the actual destruction many times of documents. And they conceal medical records. They falsify federal databases. And it's all an obstruction of justice. And what we find in this agency, the VA, the same as with USDA and all these other alphabet agencies, is even when you catch these people red-handed doing this crap, for some reason they don't get fired. They can't fire them. And what they'll do is simply move them over to another agency. And the people that were harmed are the ones who foot the bill, and taxpayers, because everything these people do that is chargeable under the law, ordinarily, everything these people do is paid for by taxpayers. We are paying for their attorneys. We are paying for whatever services, and if there's a fine or something assessed against them, it is the taxpayer pay. These people don't foot the bill for anything. How in the world are they getting away with this? It has to do with this USC 38.511, and this is the code, the U.S. code, that gives them almost absolute immunity and protection from being held accountable for anything, and that means right up and to the point of losing their job. If you or I did out on here on our jobs what these people do on theirs, we'd be out the door so fast, our jeans would probably catch fire. But for some reason, these people get to pack up their goodies and move over to another office. With that said, I want to bring my guest back on, and I'm glad to have him on. It's Chauncey Robinson. Chauncey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Marty, for bringing me, for allowing me to be on the show.
In reference to all
that you were saying, and the key word that you said is immunity. Immunity from criminal prosecution, whereas it's not all federal workers. It's a systemic, it's like a clique within the federal government where the senior executives are getting these bonuses and they're promoting lower managers and offering them smaller bonuses to do certain things that are criminal. And that's because of the laws we talked about the last time I was on, the Senior Executive Services Law Reform Act.
Yeah. Yeah.
Civil Service Reform Act.
I read through that, Chauncey. What a piece of work. That's another one of those things that has a title that gives you the warm fuzzies, but when you get into it, you find out what this thing is. Quite honestly, people just ought to grab the Vaseline and bend over. This is absolutely one of the worst things that our government did to the public was this Civil Service Reform Act. They reformed it all right. They codified law-breaking. They gave them immunity. They can virtually do nothing that they can be held accountable for, and you can't fire them.
Yeah.
What?
See, that's in place. You got all those. You got the Judicial Review Act is in place. But then comes this 38 U.S.C. Section 511. This section of law has ripped two efforts of getting justice in my life apart.
Right.
The first one was it was in our class action, our civil rights law lawsuit, class action lawsuit that was filed in Boise, Idaho. They used it in the district court there. They used it in the Ninth Circuit Appeals Court. And finally, March 24th, 2014, the United States Supreme Court affirmed it, which relatively says the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs has a total autonomy over the court system. That just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
The Secretary of the VA?
The Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. He has the last say.
Has total autonomy.
Total autonomy over the federal
court.
Really? Yep.
Oh. Good God.
See, the American people are unaware of several statutes, several policies, several code of federal regulations that are in place that is basically being used as a wrecking ball against our democracy and rule of law. This thing had a 28-year effect on me. And then as recently, as the information I sent to you earlier this week, the Farris Law, whereas in the military, you get hurt like I did, and I filed a suit when I came home. And because of Danny Farris Law, which was a soldier that was in a tent with an electric heater that malfunctioned and killed him in a fire. The question is, does this have anything related to medical malpractice to be used as a precedent law, making the military immune from being sued?
And this is what the Farris Law does. It makes them immune from being sued for medical malpractice.
You can only sue them under the Federal Tort Claims Act.
Okay.
And you got to get a waiver from the district court to do that.
Okay.
Which there have been that have been done. I filed several of them, which as recently as last year, I filed one for $15 million. They know the government, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and the government that, let me put it this way, Congress has left us without any tools to fight for justice. the deck is stacked against us, from the military on out to the Department of Veterans Affairs. You got the law, you got the 38 U.S.C. Section 7104, where you can't get an attorney, because if your case is at the Department of Veterans Affairs at an administrative level, an attorney can only get $10.
Okay, this is U.S.C. what?
It's 38 U.S.C. Section 7104.
7104.
I
want to make sure our audience gets this information, Chauncey. That's why I ask you to reiterate. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. And that says you can't get an attorney. And
no.
If you do, they can only be paid $10.
Yep. And one of the things, there's a friend of mine, he's in Hampton, New York. His name is Tony Woody. And he was on a radio show in Hampton, New York. And he told the show host, one of the things, I guess you could say they had a prophecy about setting this golden calf up the way they set it up, that eventually veterans were going to learn the law, because Marty, in all intents and purposes, veterans know the law. There's some veterans that know the law better than government attorneys, though.
Yes. That happens in a lot of things.
That's why that 511 is there.
Okay.
That Section 511, that law is there. Okay. Because you struggle, as I did, and as many litigants in our class action that was thrown out in 2014 at the Supreme Court, you struggled for so many years researching, on the phone with other brothers and sisters, they doing research, and veterans have grown with legal wisdom to take it to the court system. Then they run into the corruption at that level, which is the Veterans Judicial Review Act and this section of law, 38 U.S.C., Section 511. So it's like,
wow,
you get hit with belts throughout the whole fight. I felt like I was getting hit with lashes on my back, And then when I got to the court, I got hit with a baseball bat. Knocked
Chauncey,
down.
This happens in almost every issue we deal with. People having to educate themselves in the law, which I don't think is a bad thing in and of itself. I don't believe in depending on somebody else to tell you. I think you should know as much as you can in your own defense. So in and of itself, I think this is a good thing. But it's the reason you've had to do it that bothers me. Because if you hadn't done it, you'd have just been left thinking, wait a minute, what happened here? The law says this and that, and I have a right. You promised when I signed up, you know, when I signed those papers, that if something happened, you'd take care of me. But this whole system looks to me like it is set up specifically to avoid all of those claims, to render them moot and to prevent you from having any access. And now, just common sense, they are spending all the money trying not to pay you. It would probably cost less just to go ahead and take care of you like they promised.
From the very beginning, their contract said
they would. Yes.
Yeah. That was written into our lawsuit, because in March of 2009, President Barack Obama at the Navy Yard in Maryland, he made the statement that the government had breached the contract with the veterans by not taking care of by not giving them the entitlements. In other words, those might not be the exact words, but that's what he was saying. And it was posted on the White House website. A few years later, I went to see if I could print it out. It was removed. He never made that comment again.
No.
But he made it on that
and
date.
And Chauncey, wasn't it after he made that comment? And there was such a ruckus about him saying that. It was not too long after that he came out and made that public statement, you know, why should we have to pay the veterans? They knew what they were signing up for. From a man, this mm-hmm. I thought from a man who never put a uniform on. That's pretty magnanimous, a man who never put a uniform on. And
They say what they say to get in office.
Yeah.
They admit to what they're to truth to get in office. Once in office, it's a whole new ballgame.
Yes.
Amnesia.
Yes. Yep. You know, amnesia, political amnesia. And we encounter this all the time, and with everything, and the current president, of course, good Lord, I can't keep up with his Alzheimer's. I don't know how anybody else can. But, and I honestly think that man, when he came in, thought he was going to do some good things. But he got shown he wasn't going to be doing anything except what he was told. And that... What angers me about this is I've worked with different veterans here and there, and I sure don't have the experience with them that, you know, I've got with people on other topics. But, you know, I talked with veterans. I ran a show for about a year with the veterans from Vietnam, the Agent Orange victims, and my own family was affected by that. And that these people are still 60 years later, trying to get compensated for the damage from Agent Orange. It took 20 years for them to even admit this. And I think behind everything that we hear, Chauncey, what bothers me is, other than the accidents that happened, the effects of war itself, it's the other things that our government and the Department of Defense do to our military that is unknown to them, that they are exposed to, that absolutely, I don't know how anyone in good conscience with any sense of morality, empathy, compassion, whatever, could do these things, and then turn around and say, no, we don't have to admit anything, no. I know in 2003, Donald Rumsfeld changed the DOD regulations and said they can experiment even with vaccines. I thought that was strange that was singled out. Even with vaccines on the military, and they don't have to admit they did it. They don't have to get informed consent. And even if they get caught, they don't have to admit to anything and they're not responsible. And he extended this to the public and said that this also included minorities and pregnant women. In other words, saying we can test any kind of biological weapon, anything else we want on you, and too bad for you, even if you find out you can't touch us. And when we talked about this at the time, and people said, well, how could they? I said, they've been doing this to our military all along. They shoot these guys full of stuff. They don't know what they're getting. They won't tell them. They won't show them their records. They don't have to show them any records of what they did to them. Desert Storm. It was our first, and now they admit it, use of depleted uranium tested first on our own military. How do you do that? You set these men and women into war, and then you test depleted uranium, and you didn't know it was going to be harmful, and so many of you came home with what they called Gulf War sickness, and they said, oh, you're faking. Oh, they're just faking. They just didn't want to go, no, tell them what you did to these people. Tell them what you did. Go ahead.
What the issue is, there's a lack of concern for the soldiers and the veteran, the patriots. You hear, I was in a group, because there's a group that I attend here, and I was in a group that gather every week. And I almost lost it because I couldn't understand why there were veterans there saying, I'm getting tired of people walking up to me and thanking me for my service. So I listened to it. It went around the table. It was about four or five of them. And I asked the question. That's gratitude. So we don't need their damn gratitude. We need their interests. they're concerned enough to take it to the representatives and stand by our side. That was afterwards when one of the brothers told me, and then I understood it.
Right.
There is a lack of concern for veterans' issues, and I think right now, no, I'm not trying to proselyte you by any means, but I really believe right now God is dealing with this while government is in a sham right now.
Yeah.
You cannot treat the patriots of this nation the way they are treating them and think they're getting away with it.
Yeah. And they have gotten away with a lot of it. And somebody said to me about, well, you know, they do everything. No, they don't. And the VA itself is such a dismal failure on so many levels. And as you say, show some appreciation for what I did. They don't. And so you see groups come up like Wounded Warriors. You see these citizens groups coming up all over the country to try and take care of these guys, to help bring them back into, you know, society, bring them home, help them adjust. Our government isn't doing any of that. They're not doing any of that. Their answer is drugs. Let's give them drugs. These guys don't want
more
drugs.
More medication. Yeah. Keep them on pain. Keep them medicated. Because after a while, that weakens you.
Yes.
A dear friend of mine just passed away in March.
Yep.
Edwin Crosby III. He just passed away in March after years of going around the nation fighting for veterans, speaking and exposing the truth. He sat at the table with Senator Joe Biden and Senator John McCain.
Wow.
He sat at the table and showed them certain things about the codes in the DD-214, and they ignored him. But nowhere happened to him in the latter part of his life. He lost his leg due to diabetes. He was overly medicated. As you say, that's what they're going to give us. They'll give us all the prescription drugs that we can handle, but they won't give us a seat at the table to discuss how to make this situation better.
Well, said they're making money off the drugs, and this thing, you know, that we keep hearing about veterans at the rate of 22 a day committing suicide, and I do believe that there is a very fair number of those people who actually do commit suicide. They just become so lost that they do commit suicide. But the biggest problem is they are over-medicated with these psychotropic drugs in elephant doses, told to take them before they go to bed, which all of them say don't, within 4 hours of bedtime, because your heart can stop, and they find them dead in the morning. They say, oh, they committed suicide. No, they didn't. You killed them with the drugs. But this is, you know, we've got, you know, Chauncey, we've had whistleblowers come out and talk about what goes on in these VA hospitals. Sean Higgins, there in Memphis, Tennessee, you talk about a bulldog, has exposed that Memphis VA more than 50 times publicly, got it on the news about what they were doing, mistreating the veterans, the lack of care, the lack of anything that you would even relate to medical care. At one point, actually got video of the floor of the quadriplegics being left alone for a couple hours at a time. Absolutely nobody on that floor. And the cover by the hospital was, they were at a staff meeting. So you leave a floor of quadriplegics alone? And that they get away with this stuff. Then he has exposed them and exposed them and exposed them. And all they've done is what you're talking about here. They take these managers and they move them somewhere else. They don't get fired. They just get moved somewhere else, and they bring in one that they had to be moved from another location. Who does the same thing all over? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps going. One of the other things I have always found absolutely insulting is when you look at the VA budgets. They claim, oh, we don't have money for this and we don't have money for that. And when you look at it, here in written in it is, yeah, the millions of dollars for interior decorating of offices.
Yeah.
Well, that's important.
They do a lot of facelifting on the building.
Yes. I think the worst one I heard was Brandon Coleman talking about the Arizona facility and the wait list there, and that in the Center for Blinded Veterans, they had paid $800,000 for a rock to sit in the middle of this center for ambience. Mm-hmm. For blinded veterans, you put a big giant rock in there, you paid $800, got a yard full of rocks, I'd have sold to you for a lot less than that. I mean, when you see the idiocy of this stuff, and then to hear people like you who are fighting and fighting and fighting to get the most basic of the services and care you were promised, and hitting these walls. Chauncey, what do you think we can do? What can we do to help you change this?
It's not help to help us change it. No, we all thank God for people like you. No, you lost a brother and you decide to pick up a baton and do something with it, like giving the patriots a voice, an opportunity for their voice to be heard. But this thing is not just a government issue. This is an issue with veterans and within the veterans community too.
Okay.
No, there's a lot of disunity. Some of it's due to racism. And as long as we are divided, we die.
They win.
Slowly.
Yep.
And they medicate us to keep us weak and prone to our bad human behavior. See, I chose something that majority of the veterans are angry with, and that's Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I wouldn't probably be talking to you. I would have probably been one of the suicide victims.
Please don't do that.
No, I said probably. I love life.
Yeah,
thanks
yeah.
to Jesus. That's if you hear anything about me doing something like that, it's a bald lie straight from the pit of hell.
Okay.
No, I live to fight. No, for justice.
Okay.
It's a calling. I didn't ask for this. It was given to me by my Savior. But it's laid on my heart, and the question, what can we do? We have to get veterans on the same page because we have a big obstacle in front of us. Veterans are all over the world.
Yes.
And to have a round the table discussion, it can never be done unless the finances are there.
Right.
To where you can have these conferences like you do with the Whistleblower Conference.
Mm-hmm.
A veterans conference where you can get veterans here like you, just like y'all do with the Whistleblower Conference. Because there's a geographic issue here. We're up against a bureaucracy that could call a meeting, a round the table meeting, and strategize how to keep things going the way they're going with the Department of Veterans Affairs. They cheat to win.
Yep.
They can meet tomorrow morning and have a discussion about this radio show.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah,
if I want to meet with the brothers and sisters,
I said they most likely will, but go ahead.
If I wanted to strategize, if the veterans have to strategize, they're at a disadvantage because they got no funding, can't get a lawyer, can't even organize. You could try.
Right.
We tried recently as far as a couple of years ago to organize a march.
Right.
At the Lincoln, what's that? Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah.
I came all the way from New York, went to the National Park Service, put the application in for a date, and I knew they were doing construction in the area. But I had talked to a few other veterans groups and stuff. Some kind of way, I asked the lady, she looked in the computer, she said, Mr. Robinson, there is no other group scheduled for that day. You picked the perfect time. My application was denied because another group had the same amount of people coming on that date a month later.
Oh. Wow. Chauncey, hold
this
up here.
This is the problems we got.
Yes. Okay, we've got a caller on here. We've got a caller from area code 845. You're live and on the air.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth. I just wanted to make a comment I didn't catch the gentleman's name, but he's speaking very candidly, and he sounds just like the rest of us, whistleblowers and victims of abuse, whether it's through government or the legal system. And he and his group are part of our group, are part of our world. They should be at the whistle, whoever can attend, even if you know, their family can attend. They need to be represented at the whistleblower summit. This is the same kind of... Pardon me?
Yeah.
I plan to.
Oh, okay.
You're
going to
be there, Chauncey?
Yeah.
Pardon?
I am.
You'll get to meet
yes.
me. You're going to meet me in person then. You'll know me. I'm the little short old lady.
And I just wanted to say one other thing, which was what? We have our groups on Facebook, for instance, and maybe elsewhere, but I'm only on Facebook. I'm not on Instagram or Twitter, and I understand that there's, you know, a lively audience there, too, and communities speaking about entrenched legal system abuse. But why not? I don't know if there is, and I'd like – what is the gentleman's name? I'm sorry. Can you tell me?
Chauncey Robinson.
Okay. I heard that. I'm a little bit hard of hearing. So on Facebook, we have Families Against, FAC, Court Embezzlement and Dishonest Services, whatever it is. There's the family part group community. There's the malicious prosecution community or the wrongfully convicted. And I'm just wondering, is there a group for veterans with the same kinds of, you know, trampling upon your rights and your benefits that were supposed to rightfully, you know, belong to you without begging for assistance? So I'm just making a suggestion, that's all, that you are part of our group. You know, the variables are different for all of us, but it's about our rights as American citizens, as veterans, mothers, fathers, you know, elderly. You are a different community and just as, you know, valuable as the rest. So that's all I wanted to say was maybe I wouldn't be able to, but maybe there's a listener that or maybe you can do it, Chauncey. I don't know what your situation is, but maybe get a group. And I think, but I'm not sure, maybe Marty can speak to that if she feels it's necessary. There's a coalition of groups joining so that we become, a very large army to peacefully demonstrate and say, hey, well, you know, the government, the legal system trampling all over us and our rights. So that's all. You know, God bless you. I
think
things turn around.
Marty.
Yes.
Marty, is it all right if I give him my name and number? All right,
yes,
my name is Chauncey Robinson.
Hold on one second, Chauncey. Chauncey?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, and Robinson,
email.
Robinson?
Yes. I'm
okay,
give you my
what
email.
Is the number?
The
okay.
email is pointman, POINT.
Mm-hmm.
MAN.
Right.
1960. At. iCloud. I C L OUD.com.
Okay. Okay.
Read it back to me.
I have pointman, POINTMAN, 1960 at iCloud, that's iCloud.com.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Elizabeth,
I'll put
thank
the
you.
Subject matter, Marty.
Just shoot me an email with your contact information.
Pardon me?
Shoot me an email with your contact information.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And I probably won't do that until tomorrow, though. But,
that's
okay,
fine.
Good night,
that's
everybody.
Right.
And, you know, we got to stick together on this. Okay, bye-bye.
Yes, we do.
Can you just disconnect me, Marty, so that I don't have to hang up? And
yes,
so I can continue listening, or do I need to call back?
No, just sit still. I'll get you.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Well, there you go, Chauncey. There's a connection for you right there. I'm excited to hear you're going to be at the summit. I'll get to meet you in person.
Definitely.
And
there's
a gang of us coming. I'm telling you there is. And we are organizing a private meeting away from the summit. It looks like right now there's about 40 people attending. I would like to have you attend that also. And it is a networking between several groups on various issues, several of them on the VA. So I think it would be useful to have you there and to see if it's anything you want to become involved with. Everybody is sick to death of what you're talking about, these hidden laws, these things that they put into place that nobody knew about. And when you see it at the end, in the public, everybody is left stunned thinking, this can't be, how can this happen? And why did they do this? Well, come to find out, and they won't tell you, Chauncey, you're one of the first people that's come out and actually named the laws and the statute, the code that they are using, that they put in place to do this, to be able to operate this way and deny you your benefits. How many, just roughly, do you have any idea how many veterans are actually out there that are being subjected to these various codes and laws?
Well, I know the one, like I said, I mentioned to you last time, last show, and I mentioned one guy, Ed Crosby, and the other guy is Phil Cushman, Jeffrey Truman. Those that are mentioned in the legislative proposal that we put together, and many others.
Yes,
I wouldn't even try to put a number on it.
Well,
see, this is
what
where
I'm thinking.
There's a lot of veterans being lost in the quagmire. They just stuck in it and they lost. They don't even know why the quagmire is there. No, Phil was the one. Phil and Ed. Phil put me on to this. All of those that's in this legislative proposal. The 511, we learned in our lawsuit, me and Ed Crosby.
Okay.
Phil had his lawsuit back in 2008. He won the landmark case that made veterans' benefits a property right, according to the United States Constitution and the 5th and 14th Amendment.
Okay.
That's the veteran I told you. He's not able to talk right now because he has some, you know, he's recuperating to get himself together.
Okay.
Because throughout this long 45-year battle, his doctor instructed him to let it go.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah, but he still does things.
But good for him. This is we've got to pull people together on this, Chauncey. Like I say, I've talked with many veterans, but never with anybody who has the actual underlying basis. I always tell people, if you're going to go to battle with somebody on this level, you need to learn how something is constructed. If you don't understand the construction, how it was put in place, what was put in place to support it, you cannot possibly fight it. And so it just learning, and this is what you've done, how they constructed it. You deconstructed the system and found out how this was all put together to make it work. And that's the first time I've heard anybody actually do that. Kudos to you on that one. Now then.
It wasn't just me. I learned from a couple of guys.
Oh, I know that.
Themselves who taught me.
I know.
But then I took what I experienced and I put the puzzle together.
Yep.
Now, as far
there
as I knew it affected their lives and they knew it affected mine. See, this is how this is how veterans and whistleblowers have to work.
Yes.
We got to work together.
And that is one of the big problems in every issue is the inability, and you said it when you they can keep you fighting. I don't engage in that stuff. I don't get into fighting. I don't argue with people. I don't respond to attacks. I don't do nothing. I won't do it. But they keep people fighting, and like you say, a lot of it is racism. As a woman, I can tell you that a lot of it is based on gender. There is still, you know, a huge battle against women.
Yeah.
All these undercurrents that they never speak about out loud. But these are the wedges they use to keep everybody separated, to keep you from coalescing. If you ever coalesced as a group and worked from that area. And what people don't understand, Chauncey, is if you've got a group or if you're just an individual, you can form a coalition and everybody keep their own identity, keep their group, their own agenda, work on their own causes, and yet still be united, present a united front. But in every situation, there is going to be at least one, if not a half a dozen people who jump out and say, don't do anything unless I tell you to. I'm the one running everything. Yeah. Yeah, run everything through me first. There is always this core of people who jump out there and think they have to be king or queen. And it is getting weeding those people out and going and sticking with the people who are looking at this as a joint effort. Like I say, you can coalesce. Keep doing what you're doing. It doesn't mean you give up your autonomy. It doesn't mean you give up your agenda.
No.
It doesn't mean any of that. It means when it's down and dirty, you all stand up together.
Yeah.
And, go ahead. Go ahead.
A coalition, it's like with Phil Cushman. And I met Phil Cushman, then I met Jeffrey A. Truman.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about starting a veterans coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And we, due to Phil's illness, you know, and him having to take it slow, and Jeffrey has a lawsuit going, and the geographic issue of Phil being in Oregon, Jeffrey being in North Carolina, it's kind of hard.
Right.
You got to do it through the phone and through the internet. But what a coalition also brings forth is like Jeffrey sent me his case. Phil sent me his case. I sent them my case. And we pulled resources. We educated each other. I learned more from them than they could ever learn from me. You know, that was the same thing with Ed Crosby. I learned a lot from Ed, and Ed got a lot because I did a lot of research with Lars.
Right.
And we put that's how we got the class action together.
Right.
They had laws, and I had laws. They had wisdom. They had more wisdom because these guys were older. They've been in the battle longer than I have.
Right.
Then I learned of a lady.
Right.
Her name was Barbara Wright, and her husband was Joe Dudigan. Joe was in a special op, and he messed up his back. And due to the special op, which was a legal operation in I think, South Korea, the VA would not give him his benefits based on it being classified, which the NSA could have wrote a waiver, or Homeland Security, one of these agencies could have wrote a waiver communicated with the VA and got this man his benefits. Now he's dead. And his wife is working, and she's behind in bills, And that's when I sent you her contact information. And I wish you'd talk to her. Because she was a part of our litigation. She was a litigant in our class action. Then there's the author of the class action, who is Gary Kendall.
Okay.
No, these are people that's, you know, the VA's motto is delay, deny, and wait for the veteran to die.
Yes.
And that's when I started, that's what caught my attention. I read that, and I don't know if you remember, the VA watchdog, Larry Scott.
Yes.
I had read that during the paper shredding scandal, which affected my case. And I seen that bottle, delay, deny, and wait for hope the veteran die. I say, wait for the veteran to die. Because now a lot of friends are started with, they're dying.
There is a book out I had the author of on here a couple years ago, and the title of the book is Stall, Deny, and Hope They Die. And it is about the hamster's wheel, they call it. And this is what it's referred to inside the VA, putting a veteran on the hamster's wheel, and your case gets moved from desk to desk to desk to desk, and as it hits each new desk, well, now they have 30, 60, 90 days to review it, and right before that review time is up, they move it to somebody else's desk who has 30, 60, 90 days, and, I mean, then you have to get approval for this and approval for that. And that takes another 90 or 120 days, and then it's up for a 6-month review, and it's just, and all the while the veteran isn't getting any care. And and that is their whole motto, is it's hoping that in this process you'll die and it's all done. It's all done.
Yeah.
You know, case over. And and Chauncey, I bring this up on every topic I discuss. What bothers me, what eats at me behind everything, is the willingness of other Americans to do this to their fellow Americans. The willingness of people to take a job and set out and be trained and work to disenfranchise, to harm other Americans. And when you confront them about it, you get the excuse, well, I have a family to support. We all do. We all do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to hurt you to do it. And
it's not,
you know,
it's not so much, not that.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you go ahead.
Well,
finish.
No, you go ahead. Oh, well,
all right.
My point is.
Go ahead, so you can finish.
I'd rather you just went on, Chauncey, or I'll never shut up. Go ahead.
Your point is, like, when you ask yourself, like you said, it gets to you. The biggest part of it that tore at me, and I'm pretty sure it tears at you the same way it tears at Phil, it tears at Ed, and it tears at many good American people. The phrase you used, well, I got a family. That's what that's the excuse for doing it. Well, when I looked at the bill, when I sat down one time with tears in my eyes in my basement and looked and thought about it, you take a man or a woman out of their home, away from their family. You take that income out that house. Because I started remembering the cadences we used to sing when we were marching in the military. Mama, mama, we used to sing these songs. And one of the songs was, we were there, but we were singing about what Johnny was doing to our wife at home.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
When I thought about it, I said, this is crazy.
Yeah.
You take that man out of his home. You take that woman away from her husband and her child. You take that man away from his wife and child. That desolates that house.
Yeah.
There's nothing that could come out of it. There's no funds coming from the government to go there. He gets his paycheck and send that little bit of money home, because that doesn't even fulfill most of the time half of the income that was taken out.
Right.
So when you think of somebody saying, "Well, I got a family," look what you did to that family from the get go. Then that man comes home.
Yeah.
He's not the same person. She's not the same woman. He's not the same man that left that home.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back with things in his head. Demons talking about the body parts.
Right.
And you do this to him?
Yes. Yes. That is, oh, God. You know, you brought up something, and you're the first person I have ever heard bring it up, Chauncey. And that is what this actually does to that veteran and his family, you know, on a personal in-home level, what this does to that family. I'm sorry to say I had never considered that before. I've looked at it from the angle of, you know, you come home and you've been injured, or, you know, in some way you're not the same as you were when you left. And I bring this up to people all the time. I've had people call into shows at various times, and they called in one night, this has been maybe 4 years ago, and I had some of the veterans of Agent Orange on, and talking about it, and you guys whining and carrying on, and you know, nobody told you to do that. You signed up for that and everything. And I blew up. I said the man who never put on a uniform. And he says, well, they knew what they were getting into. And why did, you know, what are you crying about now? And I said, excuse me. I said, so these men stood up, put that uniform on, and went and fought supposedly for your freedom so you could be stupid. And I said, and we sent them into hell and had them do all kinds of obscene things that they ordinarily would never consider doing, thinking they were doing it in defense of our country. And then you expect them to come home and just pick up where they left off, like nothing happened? Could you do it? I said, you couldn't even put on the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's the way I feel about it. And this is what I try to make people understand when talking about, well, they, you know, knew they might be going to war. Yeah, they did. But they also thought they knew that when they came home, they'd be looked after and made sure they were all right, that they could assimilate back into society and their life. And that isn't what's happening. I remember back in the Vietnam days, I'm aging myself there, my husband at the time was a Marine, Fifth Recon, and we came back from Camp Pendleton when he charged out, and he'd been injured in Vietnam, and I remember coming through the Denver airport. We had a layover there, and I was walking through the airport with my husband, who is in his uniform with his stripes. He was an officer, and people spitting on him. And the rage was just fierce. I almost went to jail. Calling him a baby killer, this and that and something else. I have never forgotten that. It has been burned in my mind. They had no idea what this man had been through. You know, what he had endured after he got home. And then to finally get out of the service and be subjected to this by the very people he thought he was defending. And granted, I was against the Vietnam War too, as most of the country was. And if it hadn't been for all of the protests and everything, that war would have drug on another 10, 20 years. And we needed to get out of there. But it was what I never understood was the disrespect and the outright hatred of our own military who were brought home from that fiasco.
Yeah.
And we have learned since then that things were absolutely horrendous over there. And what they did to our troops, what our own government did to our troops, experimented on them with drugs. Chauncey, did you ever see the movie Jacob's Ladder?
No.
It was a fictionalized version of Vietnam, and what it was officialized accounting of something that actually happened. During World War II, Hitler had experimented with a drug that we now know as methamphetamine, and they were giving it to the troops because it'd keep them on their feet for days. But unfortunately, after several days of continuous use in this extreme high, they lost sight of who was friend and who was foe, and they would savage each other. They tried a new improved version of that on isolated troops in the jungles of Vietnam. They passed it out in their rations and then came back to see what the effect was. And Jacob's Ladder, that movie, was based around the fact that it, in one place, in one of their new improved formulas, these guys had literally turned on each other and ripped each other limb from limb, savaged each other in ways you can't imagine. And it was called Privitin. And the scientist who created this formula ended up committing suicide and over what they had done, because it was supposed to have been for minimal use, just for energy, and come to find out they were ramping these guys up, and they were ordered to take it. That was the thing. They were ordered to take it. And so they did. That is a curious thing I find about the military, is that I'll ask different veterans.
Tell me it.
When they went to it, when they went to ask different veterans, why did you allow them to inject you with something you didn't know what it was? Because I was ordered to. That something there disconnects for me, Chauncey, and maybe you can explain that to me. Something for me, no, you don't stick something to me, I don't know what it is or what it's going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I was ordered to.
Loyalty of a soldier. That's the loyalty of a soldier. Is the patriot of that man, that soldier. But then there's the other part on those who inject them with it. Their mentality is we have to create a hater.
Yeah.
And this ain't me speaking. We have to make men hate. We got to train them to hate.
Yeah.
Because like you heard me say, we were marching and singing these songs about what was being done to our wives at home. That's teachings of torment.
Right.
Because every man loves his wife.
Right. Yeah.
And for a drill sergeant to teach me to sing that song, it creates within me anger. Why am I here?
Anger.
Yeah.
Anger.
See what?
Yeah.
When you talk about patriotism, a man loves his country, he loves his family, he loves his children, he loves his community, he loves his government, and he goes to war for those people that he loves. But he don't come back that way. He comes back hateful.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Because one,
Chauncey, we've only got about a minute and a half left here. This went way too fast, and I want to have you back on again.
That's fine. Whenever you want.
We've got some more to go over, and we kind of got off on different things here, which I'm glad we did. I think it was a good conversation, and a lot came out. I want to encourage everybody to get in behind our veterans. They need our support. I don't care what the government's telling you. You know damn well if the government's talking and their mouth's open and sound's coming out, you're hearing a lie. And so we need to get in behind our veterans. And, Chauncey, we're going to be revisiting this in the very near future, and we're going to keep doing this until we get somebody's attention. And I dare say after tonight's show, looking at this call board, we got the attention of some people where it counts. And I will be in touch with you. I want to thank you again for coming on. I want to remind everybody again about the Whistleblower Summit. Chauncey, I'm so glad to hear you're going to be there. Taking place July 29th, 30th, and 31st in Washington, D.C. We'll be there. Chauncey, I'm looking forward to meeting you. And with that, everybody that tuned in this evening, we have a full call board. I know we're loaded. Get in touch with me if you need to, and we'll say good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.